It's a sex-positive, polyamorous, pansexual, faux green type of show, and it's She's Gotta Have It up next.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hey.
I know.
Hope we're too good with a little prank.
I know. I love it.
Hey, guys, what's up? Welcome to She's Gotta Have It. It's not 1986. It's 2017, and this is the She's Gotta Have It panel, and we're so excited that Spike Lee decided to make this amazing show. My name is Nakia Monet, and you can find me on all social media at Kiki Boom Boom, and I have some amazing ladies with me, and I'll let them introduce themselves. Hi.
Hey, guys. I'm Mina Wahab, and you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Mina Makes Magic.
What's up, guys? This is Marielle Turner. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Marielle_Turner.
Hey guys, it's Drew Jones, and you can follow me at all the things at OK Drew J.
Hey, ladies.
Hey, what's
up? So, how do we first reactions? We're gonna go around. How do you feel about what you've seen so far? For She's Gotta Have It. What's up with you, Mina?
I loved it, but all my family was over for Thanksgiving. And I was like, there's way too much sex. It's like, I thought we like, put it on mute, and then unmute it, putting it on mute.
So much sex.
Yeah. So much. It was like an HBO show, practically.
Okay. It was.
But no, I loved it. I thought it was so well done.
Awesome. What'd you think,
girl? Yeah, I'm loving it. I love Nola. I'm like, girl, this girl is like living the savage life yes. and has no qualms. Like, she puts herself first. And I love that. So, yeah.
Yeah, I was living for it. My roommates did think I was watching porn.
Right. So did mine. She's like, what are you looking at?
My roommate's like, what are you watching, girl? I was like, I swear it's a
like,
show.
I swear it's not porno.
And like, I'm saying it as, you know, Noah's getting it in. But no, I loved it. It was definitely a great tribute to the original.
Amazing, amazing. So, for those who don't know, which you should know, if you're listening to this after show, this is the She's Gotta Have It after show, and the original came out in 1986. Mm-hmm. Not aging myself, but sure, we weren't born. I mean, I was born, but I was a baby. But anyway, I didn't really get a chance to see the movie until I got older to understand.
Right.
And when I seen this show, I'm like, yo, Spike, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I thought it was such a dope homage to Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll start. So we have Nola Darling, who I must say is my icon, my idol.
Right. Girls living the life. Yes. I'm like, man.
Did you guys see the original movie?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. How do you guys like the new Nola Darling?
I think she is an amazing adaptation for, like, now, for the present time. I think she, like, she still has all the essence of Nola Darling from the original, but she's 2017 Nola.
Right.
So I'm obsessed with her.
Yeah. I felt the same way. Like, you can really see the essence of the original character, but it's, like, updated, and, you know, she's a millennial, and she knows how to use social media, like, all of these things. So I really loved it. And I love that it didn't stray too far away
yes.
from what we know from the movie. So, yeah.
It was a real Spike Lee joint because mm-hmm. you can always tell, even if you watch certain shows like Dear White People, they kind of paid homage to Spike because of the way they filmed it.
Right.
So watching this, I felt like I was literally watching some of Spike's movies. And you can tell with some of the characters, and we'll get into it, he paid homage to other characters from his other movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I caught myself watching this literally like by myself, laughing out loud. And I was like, oh, that's, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I see what you did, Spike. So we have Nola Darling, and Nola, you know, she has an interesting dating life. She is single. She, you know, it's no fucks given, and she's mm-hmm. dating three men at the same damn time.
Right.
And, you know, cool. it could be a double standard because sometimes with men, we say to men, how do you remember things like this? Mm-hmm. How do you remember their names? How do you remember the stories? But we have a young woman, a young black woman who kind of takes control of their narrative. So I just want to hear from you guys because we're going to do it a little different since we're only doing like two episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how you guys felt about her character and how did you feel about Nola dating three men at the same time? And then we'll talk about the guys and we'll go from there.
I mean, I feel like in today's day and age, it's way more acceptable. Like, even mm-hmm. being a fan of The Bachelor franchise,
hey!
Like, literally the same thing.
They get it in on The Bachelor.
But I don't think three is a ton for her to juggle at the same time. But all three are so different that I'm just trying to think, like, what are you getting from each of these relationships
exactly.
right now? I feel like she wants all of these characteristics in one person, but instead it's like all these people, it's like you have the very stable one and you have the one mm-hmm. who's such a character who
right.
she has such a fun time with. But ultimately, I don't think any of them seem like a good, like an actual good fit for her right now.
Like the person she needs. Yeah. I definitely, what I really love about the show is that I think you often see images of, like, men with a lot of women, right? Or juggling a lot of women, or women fighting over men, or something like that, the narrative. And so, just watching the show, I was like, this is really surprising. Like, you so rarely see a woman who's like, yeah, you know, I am dating him, but I'm also dating him. And it wasn't even really messy. You know? It was very, like, cohesive almost.
She was very honest. Yeah, she told them about honest. Each other. I was she's a savage and an OG. Yeah.
I love that.
But I also think people respect you more when you're honest and upfront.
Yeah.
It's scary because you don't want to scare off the other person. But I was like, this girl is amazing. She's like, you will deal and you'll know about my other two moves. And it's totally fine.
Yeah. She like put her happiness first. So.
Yeah. I think there's always like articles about like what millennials have ruined. Like it's a new thing every week. And I think like I've seen numerous times that we're like the generation that isn't getting married, you know, we're putting our career first. And I love that, like, one, it's a strong black woman who's like the head of this show and that she's like doing it and she's like, yeah, it's my career. And then y'all are like, you get the crumbs, like, and you gonna deal with it because I'm like, I don't have to give you all of me. You're lucky to have a piece of me.
Okay.
No. And I'm like, confident.
I love seeing a black, I love seeing a strong black woman who knows her worth and her being the front runner of the show and like everything circling around her and like her experience not like forming around others. Like everyone's forming around her. So I'm obsessed with it.
I love it because she made her own rules.
Yep.
Like she's like, you know, I only make love in my bed, the loving bed, as she called it. We're going to do this how I want to do it. I'm like, Nola, you better let them know.
Yes.
So since we're talking about the guys, so Nola is dating three guys at the same time. And Mina, you're right. They're completely different. So we'll start with Jamie Overstreet. So we see Jamie, good looking brother. He's the banker with the suit.
Right.
Little booge. He lives in the Heights, as we call it, which is downtown Brooklyn where all the rich people live at, where they film the Cosby Show. You know, when you go to the Heights, you're like, only rich people are on that side. And you know, he's spending time with Nola, but he's the student guy. He's the tight guy. And as we go on, we find some things out about Jamie. But when it first starts, you can tell, at least I can tell that he really liked Nola at first. So how are you guys feeling, Jamie?
I like him the most out of all of them, but I also feel like for her, she's just going for the stability. She likes that he's like a solid, stable, put together guy.
And he pays for a lot of her things.
Yes, yes, he does.
As her friends call him, the sugar daddy.
Yes. I did like Jamie. I did not like the fact that he was married.
Girl, speak about it.
And married, living in the same house. Even if he is in a different room, I was like,
I just didn't like because Jamie was having all these demands for Nola.
Right, but you're married.
My brother, but you got a whole wife and child.
A whole wife.
Because when it first starts off, I'm like, all right, Jamie's cool, like, he knows what he wants. And I'm like, wait a minute. You mean to tell me this man is married? And he keeps saying that that's the thing. We're separated. We just need to fill some papers out.
Yeah.
But that's the thing about Jamie. I'm like, you're demanding a Nola's time and energy and space, but you're married. Like, you can't.
Like,
come on
brother.
Now. Come on.
If
that's
you don't get out of here.
Yeah.
He looks good and apparently
he does. He's fine.
He's great in the bedroom because she had a tear.
Yeah.
She did.
I got a little teary eyed for her.
It's like, must be nice.
I was like, can I have that moment where I can just start crying just from some good cunnilingus? Shout out to you, Jamie. So then we get to Mars, who is my absolute favorite.
My favorite!
And for those who don't know, Spike Lee played Mars in the original movie. So Mars is the loud, crazy Brooklyn straight, yo, what's up? I'm from the Fort Greene Projects. And, you know, I'm from Brooklyn, so we're in the Fort. So Fort Greene, I'll break it down really quickly. Fort Greene right now, Fort Greene has always been a place where black people have always lived and they own all their businesses. But it's been black people with, I guess you could say, with a different status. They have money, but nothing bougie, but it's definitely Afrocentric in Fort Greene. And it's always been that way, and that's something out of respect. Fort Greene Projects are kind of in the middle with everything going on around it. So Mars is from Fort Greene Projects. He's hood. He's half Latino. He's half black. And he makes Nola laugh. He's a baby, though. He's a baby.
He is.
How do you guys feel about Mars?
I mean, I think she definitely has the most fun with him out of anyone. And I think he, in some ways, he's very authentic. He's not afraid to make a fool of himself. He's very theatrical. Everything he does is, like, trying to put on a show for her. And he genuinely wants to protect her and, like, pray that she succeeds. And I don't feel like, I feel like he's the type of jealous where, he's not the type of jealous where he doesn't want her to succeed and, like, feels intimidated by that. He wants the best for her. Whereas I think some of the other guys want to feel needed by mm-hmm. her. With him, he's like, what can I do to help you? It's all about yes. her.
Yeah. And he's no the youngest out of all three guys. He's the baby. Yeah. And I think it's very interesting to see how Mars is with Nola compared to the other two.
Right. Yeah.
Who are older and on paper, they seem stable. Mm-hmm. But when you get to unwrap them, you're like, okay, Jamie.
You a mess.
Then we get to Greer, my other favorite. So Greer is the metrosexual photographer who loves himself, who takes 50 million selfies.
He's very LA to me.
He's very LA.
I was gonna say he's very light skinned, Morehouse
girl,
Atlanta, Georgia. Like I got PTSD watching him. I was like, oh my,
because
I went to college down in Atlanta, and I was like, oh, we have too many Greers down here. I was like, flashbacks. So I was just like, I can't handle it.
He does remind me of LA mixed with like a little bit of Atlanta, and my favorite quote from him is, there's nothing wrong with loving oneself. There's something that I love myself.
He was a trip. Yes. He was hilarious.
He made me laugh, though. Like, mm-hmm. I'm like, Greer, seriously, I thought he was gay, but there's no, you know, I guess he's a metrosexual, and mm-hmm. our girl Nola is a pansexual, so we, as Nola says, I'm not into labels, but we do have Greer, so
there's not a ton of substance there, though.
It's not.
Like, he's gorgeous, but
and that's
I think Greer's purpose, a lot of it was sexual for Nola. Well, yes. I think with Mars and Jamie, it's a deeper connection there. Mm-hmm. But I think with Greer, like she even calls him, I think, her fuck buddy or something.
Yeah.
But
mm-hmm.
she never calls the other two that. Mm-hmm. So I just think a lot of that may have just been superficial. And,
I think so. Because he looks really good. He's great to look at. Mm-hmm. He is fine.
Yeah. I mean... I don't blame.
But Mars,
Mars takes out all the goofy stuff. I was like, what's really good, though?
But
like,
Mars took his hair down.
I know.
Little sexy little thing.
I was like, okay.
And it was even interesting because, like, at the beginning, we seen her having sex with Greer and Jamie. And I was like, oh, is she ever going to have sex with Mars? But they got it in. I was like, all right. Even though he's 22, he can hold it down.
Right, like, he knows what he's doing. And he seems very down for her.
Yeah.
And it's funny going into it, like, when I first watched the first episode, I was like, Mars seems like he's going to annoy me as a character. Like, he's just too much, he's over the top, these jokes aren't that funny. But then, like, halfway through, I'm like, I love him. Like, he's hilarious, he's down for her. So, yeah, he's my favorite.
He's like the underdog that you root for.
I think he's, like, the epitome of, like, opposites attract. I think he's, like, everything mm-hmm. she needs to, like, because she gets a little too uptight sometimes.
Yeah,
I think he is, like, perfect for that. I don't know. I love it. I'm Team Mars.
Team Mars. And at the end, I think when we do our next show, I'm going to see where you guys are after the other five episodes that we do. But the one thing she said, Mars makes my sides hurt from laughing. Mm-hmm. And I always say, well, a quote from Marilyn Monroe, if you can make a girl laugh, you can make her do anything.
That's true.
That was my high school quote in the yearbook. No! But my mom's like, why is that happening? So we meet Nola's friends.
Yeah.
Which I believe she didn't really have friends in the movie. Mm-hmm. So we meet three of her different friends, and her first friend is Chloe. And we learn that her and Chloe used to be roommates. But we also learn that my girl Chloe used to mess with Mars.
Which I can't even compute.
Because
Mars makes people laugh.
Because Chloe is not that she's uptight, but you know, they're just so opposite.
Very different.
I could see Nola, but when I was like, wait, she messed with Mars? Mm-hmm. It's a little weird.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I think Chloe, the reason she said she moved out was because Nola had too many randos in the bathroom. Mm-hmm. Too many men were coming in and out. And like Nola told her, well, girl, if you're not feeling it, you need to move out. And what does she do? She moves up the street from her. And I liked how they maintained their friendship.
Mm-hmm.
Even though Nola dated the guy she was dating.
Yeah.
Even though she kind of ran out the house, they're still friends.
That's so weird to me, but I think it almost speaks to Nola's character as just being like a cool person and someone that just has like a very, like a quality that's so intangible you can't put a word on it at all, but she's just very magnetic and people love her regardless of her flaws, even though, like, I can't imagine staying friends with someone who's that inconsiderate.
Yeah, I feel like in real life, people would be like, I'm straight.
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking about it because, like, I have a childhood best friend who I've known since I was 3 years old, and we do all kinds of stuff together, but the thought of living with her, I would rather shave my head. I love everything about her. There are things about her that, like, stress me out. But, like, I don't know. Like, I guess just, like, when you're that good of friends, it, like, doesn't really matter. But, like, roommate situations change a lot of things for a lot of people.
Vacations and being roommates.
Yeah.
That's how you know who your friends are.
Mm-hmm.
Because after being a roommate with someone, you really learn who people are. So I give it to Chloe for even still being able to be a friend. Because I was going to ask you guys, have you guys ever, you know... did the girl code thing, or you did something out of character, or you did something to your friend that wasn't a part of the girl code? Not to put you guys on blast, but
I can't think of anything like that. I mean, I feel like that's territory you just don't go into.
Yeah.
Someone dated someone, you don't go, like, there's so many people in the world.
Exactly.
Why would you go for that one person?
I couldn't do that to a friend because I wouldn't want them to do it to me.
Exactly.
So, like, if you're an ex or a boo, something, I'm not interested.
Limits.
I was going to say, I haven't done it to someone, but I've had someone do it to me.
Ooh.
And we're cool now, but, like, I don't know. She's there for certain things, but not all things.
You kind of look at them a little
differently.
Yeah, it's like, I peep you. Like, you're cool, but I peep.
I peep the game.
I peep you, girl. I peep you.
Yeah, game recognize game.
So in the first episode, it's Nola's birthday, yeah. And our dude Jamie comes through, and he sleeps over, and Nola's phone rings as she's in the bed with Jamie.
She's bold.
And my girl picks up the phone, and it's boo number two,
Boo
Mars.
Kicking it.
She is so fire.
She is savage. Like, she's literally in the bed.
But not only did she pick up the phone, she turned her back.
Like,
Tell us why, it's
so annoying, and it's obnoxious, because in some ways I feel like she's, like, intentionally being disrespectful.
Yeah.
It's, like, a way to get attention and have him be like, oh, who are you talking to? Like, who is that? It's, like, her, like, either consciously or subconsciously trying to get a reaction to get validation that she wants from him. So, for whatever reason, even though she projects, like, this confidence, which she does have to a certain degree, I think she does, in some ways, feel insecure when she sees someone like Jamie, who's so established.
Mm-hmm.
And she even says, like, you just have you're where I want to be. Like, that's what she says.
Yeah.
So, it just kind of shows you that she wants him to kind of, like, she doesn't want to be owned, but she wants that validation from him.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like I noticed she kind of did it to Greer, too, in some situations, but she never really did it to Mars. And I feel like it's because Greer and Jamie both have this, like, superiority complex where, like, and so she's just like, all right, like, two can play that game. I'm going to make you feel like how y'all are trying to make me feel. And
that's interesting.
You're right.
Yeah.
I mean, Jamie's married.
Yeah.
So maybe in her mind, maybe, like, she wouldn't do that to, like, a Mars, but she's probably saying to herself, this guy is married.
Yeah.
I respect him, but I'm a single woman, and there's no way you're going to be in my loving bed telling me what to do. Mm-hmm. Not only does she pick up the phone, she turned her back. I was like, you know what, Nola, darling.
Girl. And that's the thing. Like, I do feel, it's because I didn't think about that, the fact that he is married. And at first I was like, you know, a common courtesy, like, just go into the bathroom or something.
Crazy.
But that is a good point, you know. He has a whole wife, so he can't really tell her, hey, don't talk on the phone.
Right. Because at first when I seen him, I'm like, Nola, girl, come on
now. Yeah.
That's a little rude. But then as I get to know Jamie, and I'm like, this man got a whole Cheryl at home.
Yeah.
So, you know, at first I felt bad, and I think the senses was, but I think we all were like, Nola, you're a savage, and you're amazing.
Yeah.
So as the show goes on, you know, the men know about each other. Nola's very open, and she doesn't give a fuck. Excuse my language. She just doesn't. But you can tell the men are a little insecure because Greer asks, am I the only person you're sleeping with?
Yeah.
Am I on your fuck buddy? Now, mind you, they know about each other. But they're starting to, like, question things. And I just love that Nola is letting them know, like, guys, I'm here with you today. That's all you need to know.
Which, how many times has someone tried to pull that on a female?
Men do it. Oh, men
because
do it all the time.
That's game that a man would say to a woman. And, you know, sometimes women were like, oh, but men have said that. Like, I'm just here with you.
Right.
Let's
like,
be
oh,
in this moment.
Nola
hit them with the, I had to do the, there's a meme when homeboy's like, I'm like, did Nola just hit them with the OG game? She's like, I'm here with you. That's all that matters. We're good.
I was reading, like, reactions to this show, like, on Twitter, and a lot of the guys were really butthurt by Nola.
Of course they were.
Men, I just feel like, no shade to the men, but when there's ever a strong, even with Insecure, people were so upset at Issa, and it's like, men are just so intimidating. They get scared because they have to, because, you know, I've had these debates with my friends about women and sex, and I used to debate with my friend because the whole stereotype is women only cheat from emotion,
right?
Or women only have sex and they get attached.
I'm
like,
want it.
Some women are like that, but there are women who can casually just have sex and be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I think men are scared because they're like, wait, women are really like this in real life,
right? Like,
and,
well, what if this happens to me, or what if somebody tries to pull this savage move on me?
So they get upset at the Issas and the Nolas, and even women from like the show Girlfriends. It's just strong, independent women. I always notice that men are always in their feelings on Twitter.
Yeah.
Oh, always.
But it's fun to go to their pages and read like their other tweets, and it's like they're doing the same thing.
Exactly.
I was like,
but you know, women, we gotta stay at home in that kitchen, mm-hmm. according to them.
But you know what's one thing that's interesting? I wonder, because I think them being in Brooklyn, them being in New York, has a big part of how that happens. Because yes. I feel like in New York, I lived there for a little bit, like just. The people there are just different. You know what I mean? Like, so if that different. Were to happen in real life, I feel like Brooklyn and New York is New York City's perfect place.
It's a you're absolutely right.
Where guys would be like, yeah, I'm down for that. Like, and, sure, I'll show you. Because I've seen,
they were asking people's reactions about it. Like, you know, I think it was promo for the show. Uh-huh. And they were asking men in the street, and men are like, you know what? Men, we used to do it, and I think it's okay for women. I think you're right, because New York City, we're such a big, diverse city, mm-hmm. and it's easier for us just to date. I'm from New York. I grew up in Boston. I moved back to New York in 2009. My dating was so different when I moved back to New York. Mm-hmm. I was like, whoa, like, I had options. Because in New York City, there's just so many of us, and we're so open, and people don't really judge you. Mm-hmm. So I feel like you're right. Like, this was the perfect background. I felt like Brooklyn, Fort Greene, New York was the perfect place for Enola Darling mm-hmm. and her three boos.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I feel like nobody was really judgy. But speaking about judging, her friends...
Yeah.
It's great when you have friends that understand you, but your friends may say they're not going to judge you, but once in a while...
They do.
They judge. Yeah. So they tell Nola, are you going to give your vagina a rest? How do you remember all these guys? What are you doing? Mm-hmm. Have you guys ever had friends like that?
They sound jealous.
Yeah. Okay.
First of all, vaginas are made to push out babies, so we don't need to give it a rest at all.
Okay. We strong.
Like, I promise you, no damage is being done.
We're like, good. It goes, never mind.
You're
good.
But I think some of that did stem from, like, a jealousy or maybe, mm-hmm. like, a desire to want to be able to say the things that they want so strongly mm-hmm. and demand what they want mm-hmm. and value themselves enough to be like, look, this is what I want. Either you get with it or you can go. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of them didn't have the confidence that Nola had. And that's probably why they're projecting on her, like, oh, girl, like, I just want to give it a break, and, you know, all that stuff. I think I had something to do with it.
It's crazy.
I think part of it is jealousy, but I also think that part of it is them not respecting her because, to a degree, she does have a fear of commitment.
Right. Yeah, she
and,
does.
And, like, you see that. Like, you see she wants to feel like she's desired by all these yes. people, and she wants that validation. And, yeah, she is strong and she is independent, but I think you even see it when she decides to take a break from guys entirely and go for someone else. Like, you finally see, like, once she gets closer to someone, when she thinks she has the upper hand, mm-hmm. she ends up getting her heart broken. Mm-hmm. So,
who's beautiful,
that's the only time that she can actually, I think, feel vulnerable is right. when she thinks she has the upper hand.
So it takes her a while
to, like, get comfortable with people, and I think that's why she keeps her options open.
Yeah.
Like, she's still independent, still strong, but...
I'm glad she's in therapy.
And you know what? Yeah. And I'm happy that Spike put that on the show, because especially in, like, the Black community and people of color, mm-hmm. therapy is so, like, taboo.
Don't do it.
You don't do therapy.
You gotta pray it out.
You know what I'm saying? Pray it out.
And I think, oh, God will do it for you. Yeah. No shade, but, and I think with the Black community and people of color, we don't understand mental illness. Mm-hmm. So I was so happy to see that she had a Black therapist, a woman therapist, and that she was just in therapy and talking.
Yeah.
Because on the outside, people may look at Nola and be like, something's definitely wrong with her.
Yeah.
She's having sex with all these people. But it's like, maybe she's just really comfortable with herself. So we see a young woman who's comfortable and confident and strong, and we see her kind of vulnerable because the typical New York thing, not the attack part, but there's a guy in the street, she's walking home, it's late at night, and he tries
shit.
To holler at her, and she says no, and
so
he feels
scary.
The need to grab her and assault her.
And call her a bitch.
Call her a bitch.
Yeah.
Guys are nice to you until they don't get what they want, and all of a sudden,
they get rejected.
You ain't that fine anyway.
I'm like, but you just tried to talk to me, and that, it brought me back to being home in New York, where someone would try to holler at you, and if you say no, they're like, F you too, bitch, you're ugly.
You're not that fine.
I could have sworn you was just trying to get my number.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we see her, you know, being attacked by this guy, and it scares her to her core. When now we're starting to see, as the episodes are going, she has a little PTSD where she's now freaking out when guys are approaching her, and we see her putting up her art, you know, to express herself a little bit more. So have you guys ever been, not in a weird situation like that, but ever been hollered at, or you ever felt uncomfortable where you rejected a guy and he, you know, disrespected you?
Yeah, 100%. And I feel like it's so scary because, like, there have been times where I'm like, I'm going to wear a ring just so that I'm not in, like, a position where I have to reject or I have an excuse when I shouldn't even have to have an excuse at all. Mm-hmm. Like, especially in this industry where people think that, you know, it's okay to, like, push the boundaries a little more, and because they think you're young, or they think you're naive, and, or you're sweet,
and this
or
is
whatever.
A good time, especially with all the, the scandals that are going on, and this, and I'm like, Spike Lee, you've done it again, sir.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it was very smart for him to put that in, because we know, as women, we deal with a lot.
Yeah.
We deal with issues, sexual assault, harassment, racism, I mean, low pay.
Yeah.
So everything in this show, I'm like, man... And I feel like it doesn't matter what color or race you are, you can relate to either someone on the show, you can relate to the problems and the issues that were going on. Mm-hmm. Gentrification in Brooklyn, we talked about this on our last show, you know what I'm saying? People moving into the neighborhood. We meet neighbor Bianca, who is not too happy about the loud noise that's going on outside. So I really love that they pinpointed different things that were happening, and our poor girl Nola was attacked.
Yeah, I think that's so relevant to put in street harassment, because like you said, first of all, sexual assault is in the news, like, every day right now. And I don't know a single woman that hasn't been harassed or had something thrown at them walking. I don't know a single woman that hasn't had that happen.
Or you have to feel you have to put your headphones in, even though you're not listening to anything, so you're not harassed.
Or rejecting a man and then having him lash out. Like, it's so common. So that's what I love, especially because Spike Lee is a man himself.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So he really didn't have to, you know, write this story that way or include those little things that, like, really relates to a woman's experience. Right. Mm-hmm. And so, I just love that it's very honest. Yeah,
except this time around, he did have a bunch of female writers.
Shout out to Spike for that. I think it definitely was.
I did appreciate that we get to see, like, the after effects of, like, just because I think a lot of people just think, like, oh, it happened, and, like, women are strong, we're supposed to keep it pushing and stuff. But, like, I know for me, when I first moved out to LA, I lived downtown, and, like, downtown, like, they don't care. Like, I remember, like, I'd be like, oh, I have a boyfriend. I don't have a boyfriend. But, like, I have a boyfriend. They'd be like, oh, so we can't be friends.
Oh, that's, like, the best line.
Yeah, leave me alone. Like, they just are so persistent. And for a while there, like, I would just be very, like, timid towards men in general. Yeah. Like, just not wanted. And I like that Spike Lee showed that, like, this is an issue. This does have a lasting effect. Like, it is something that needs to be, like, resolved, so.
I love that he did that. I was like, shout out to the writers.
Yeah.
Really great writers on the show. I love that there's now women, because I think men understand, you know, the view. They made a funny point. When you have women in certain positions, especially in entertainment, yeah, they ain't gonna get in trouble. Like, keep the women around. So I'm happy that they had the writers on the show. So we start to get into episode 2, and, you know, unfortunately, we have to try to cram in 5 episodes in our little short time, so guys, don't be mad at us. We're gonna try our hardest to. So now I wanted to just do one, and then we can now get into, like, the different characters.
Right,
you guys don't mind?
Yeah,
do that.
Let's do it.
So we meet Shemeka, who is totally different from her other homegirl. Mm-hmm. Shemeka is Brooklyn, West Indian, Black goddess.
Yes,
but Shemeka's insecure.
Very.
And Shemeka.
This also feels like another LA thing. I'm like, is this New York? Because it feels very, like, Beverly Hills. I'm going to get plastic surgery.
It's the industry, right?
Yeah.
Shemeka's in she's, like, at the club, the dance coach is entertainment. Mm-hmm. And then there's Greer. He's also in entertainment. So I think a lot of it is reflection on that industry where it's like, ooh, this really brings up a lot of insecurities or, you know, narcissism. Or, like, I don't know. One of the two.
I love that Shemeka is West Indian because I'm Jamaican, and Nicole, there's a lot of like beauty issues in the West Indian culture, just because, like, you know, with whitewashing and with, you know, we're expected to have these big asses and big boobs and everything like that, and a lot of it, I don't have a booty, so a lot of
we're
us,
just all know, built differently.
Yeah, everybody's built differently, so I love that he chose to have her be Jamaican, just because I think a lot of my girlfriends and stuff and a lot of my family was like, yeah, this is, like, a legit... Like, in Jamaica, like, getting your skin bleached is, like, so normal.
Yeah, it's, like, a thing.
It's, like, so wild to me because I'm, like, I love dark skin. So I'm, like...
Yes, chocolate.
Yes. So I'm just, like, what's going on? But I love that, you know, it was kind of, like, he was just shining light. Another time he was shining light on a very real issue.
Spike does that. And I like that when the issue was brought up, because Shemeka now wants to get her booty done because she's a dancer and she works at... Well, she waits table at this club. Mm-hmm. She wants to be a dancer. And she feels like the girls have bigger booties. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this girl's beautiful.
Yeah, she's like stunning. Insanely beautiful.
Gorgeous.
There was someone, I can't remember who they showed, but it looked like someone, like, literally stuffed a pillow with their ass.
The lady who did the show.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what's going on today where these women feel like we have to go to the underground basements because that's what Shemeka did. Mm-hmm. You have to get the money to go to someone's illegal house and they're shooting you up with shit that you don't even know what's inside of
it's
that.
Insane.
Just to get the booty. And I like that Nola says to her, what do you think your daughter's gonna think? I'm not judging you, but think about your child.
Yeah.
So I like that they brought that up. And Spike is good at that. He'll shine a light on things.
Yeah.
And I like that she's problems. Like, she thinks it's pretty like Nikki. Because a lot of, you know, a lot of young girls, and then we meet the students, they think things like that.
Right.
It's okay. And I just feel like, as a woman, I know Shemeka's so insecure. I'm like, I wish she can see how beautiful she is.
She's stunning. And it's funny because it reminded me, I watched an interview with Cardi B. You know, she was a dancer. Mm-hmm. And she actually had that exact experience where she wasn't getting a lot of attention, a lot of money at the club because she thought her ass was flat. So she went to somebody's apartment in New York and got injections, and she still to this day doesn't know what that's was crazy. Injected.
There's a woman who just went to jail for that because she was injecting.
Yeah, I heard about
some,
that.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. With stuff you just don't know. And I get it. It's tough. Especially, you know, we all live in LA. We all work in the industry. So we know firsthand how tough it is to try to keep up. Mm-hmm. And it's sad that women are doing, you know, women and men, they have to go to these basements and they get filled up with shit that they don't even know what's in there. And a lot of people are losing their lives.
Yeah. I feel like it's really wild, too, because in the Black community, like for the longest time, like, you know, having hips, having curves and stuff was so frowned upon by society. And then, like, the Kardashians come and basically put everything that a Black woman is on their body.
And then it's so desired.
Yeah, now it's desired again. And so now Black women who had those bodies in the first place feel like they have to go and, like, match up.
Keep
up.
Mm-hmm.
It's just this, like, ridiculous bullshitting cycle.
So, so weird. I'm happy that Spike shined a light on that because it's big, and that's what's going. We have we either know someone or we know someone who's going through something like that. We also meet Nola's parents, and for those who know Spike, Spike loves putting his sister. Seeing her. She plays Nola's mom, and Spike is so dope because if you guys remember, Spike's sister was in Do the Right Thing, and the reason I bring up Do the Right Thing is because Spike paid homage to three. I came up with three characters. I don't know with you guys. I feel like the mayor, which is the mayor from To the Right Thing, Ossie Davis' character.
Yep.
I'm like, wait a minute. Miss Janie, I feel like that was Ruby D's character, who was arguing with the mayor. And now, of course, his sister is in the thing. So did you guys feel nostalgic when you seen Spike's sister pop up?
Oh, I was like, oh, what's up, girl?
She's like a mom now.
Yeah.
You can always tell. Right. You can always tell a Spike Lee joint to me. Like, it's so many things that make it so unique. Yeah. And it's like, no matter what movie, if it's a TV show, it doesn't matter. Like, it's so clear. Oh, this is a Spike Lee movie. Yes. Like, so many things. Yeah.
Yes. So another character we meet, Jamie's wife. I don't know. I don't hate her. I don't know why I said it like that.
I don't hate her either. But I feel bad.
Yeah.
Jamie's wife. So when you first watch the show, you feel for Jamie. You're like, wow, this is a guy who really knows what he wants. Mm-hmm. Then you meet Cheryl. Mm-hmm. And you see that they're not having the greatest marriage. They don't communicate with each other.
Right.
And it, like, blew my mind but it didn't blow my mind because there's a lot of men and women in these situations. Mm-hmm. And they claim that they're separated or they're leaving their wives and they're dating someone. So do you look at it like, okay, Nola, you know what you're doing? You're the bad person? Or do you look at it like, Jamie, you need to relax and chill out because you have a wife at home. You don't need to be in a whole relationship? Or are they both to blame?
I feel like I'm going to say it's more on Jamie in the situation, only because Nola's so honest about what she wants from the get-go. Mm-hmm. But, like, at the same time, Nola, girl, like, if you're as free bird or whatever, like, I'm all for getting what you want and stuff, but, like, you're beautiful. There are plenty,
non-married.
Yeah, non-married dude. You have two of them.
Hello.
Already. Like, I don't know. I just, like, it leaves a weird taste in my mouth. I don't like that.
But to be fair, like, Nola doesn't want commitment at all. I think it's just weird because, like, Jamie wants commitment from her specifically, though, when he already has something established at home. But, I mean, I think this type of thing is such a case-by-case basis where sometimes it's so clear that the person who's separated has every intention of divorcing. But in this instance, it almost feels like if things go well with the wife and things turn around, he's going to try to balance two at the same time.
Yeah,
like, that's
I
what
agree.
It seems like. But I don't think, like, right now, like, in the beginning, in the first five episodes, that's his thought process. I think he legitimately likes Nola, but Nola is an escape from the life he has and the marriage that he has that isn't working. So the reason he wants commitment from her is because I think he just kind of sees her as this solution to his problem.
Exactly.
Yes. And not necessarily like valuing every aspect of her.
Yeah, I totally agree. I do think it's on both, only because I feel like Nola knows enough to know that like this man at least still lives with his wife and his son. So if he's separated, like you said, it's case by case. But like if he's still in the house, I think it should be enough to be like, you know what? I'm just not even gonna.
Yeah. It's weird.
Right. I'm not even gonna try to get anywhere in this. Right. Like, figure out your shit. And,
yeah. You know.
I think it's the kid part that bothers me more than the teen thing. Like, I don't know. Do grown folk business, but like when there's a kid involved, I just kind of feel like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
Be careful with it.
It's like, do your thing, but I think it's just weird because he still lives there. Yeah. Now it's different if they're legit separated and they don't even live together. Because that's even a thing where, like, you meet a guy and you're dating and he's like, oh, well, I still kind of live with my baby mother.
Yeah.
And you're like, no.
You have attachments, sir. No. Like, cancel that.
It's weird. You guys are not roomies.
Yeah.
And it's like, even though she doesn't want commitment, it's like, I think...
But she does. She doesn't. Because this is the thing that bothers me. Like, when they're out eating dinner, she's like, how come you haven't introduced me to your friends? But she doesn't know what she wants. Nola doesn't know what the hell she wants.
I love Nola, but I think as humans, we say one thing and we like, I don't want it. But as a human, she felt some type of way. So we'll go into that. Mm-hmm. So Nola buys this amazing little black dress. Mm-hmm. She's being followed in gentrified Fort Greene, which I loved because I know exactly where that boutique is. Actually, a really cute boutique. And she buys it. I think she bought the dress to try to prove a point.
Yeah.
And with the dress, we have three different reactions from her man friends. So with Jamie loves the dress, but he just doesn't want it out in public.
Right.
And he's scared. He wants her to cover up.
Which I roll.
I'm like, Jamie, if you don't sit your black ass down.
That's what I said.
Shut up, Jamie.
He's like, oh, it's cold. Put this on. I'm like, seriously?
But I didn't think it was just I think that was one of the reasons, right. But I think he was also embarrassed because it's a high-class restaurant.
So I think it made her feel like shit
because she's like, oh, am I not good enough or classy enough
for you? And then he said something like, this isn't a club in Miami. I was like, okay, well, let me go.
You have a good night,
right. You have a good night.
It felt like a pretty woman kind of thing.
Yeah. Like, you're loving up on her. You love this dress, but now you're embarrassed because your partner's in college. Right. I see it. What happens? His partner sent over some champagne and he is embarrassed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. I'm saying to myself, as a married man, yes, you are separated, but people know you with your wife and kid.
With your wife.
You are walking into public with your other boo. So now you run into your colleagues and now you feel some type of way. So Nola now is like, how come you never really introduced me?
She can feel the tension, you know, the vibes. And it's like, I don't know what he expected, really.
I don't know.
If you're bringing her around your spots, like, you're going to run into some people.
Yeah, because it's mad weird that, like, you can love her in the dark, but you can't be out in the light with her. Like, that's mad corny to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was super corny. I'm happy that she told him goodnight when he dropped her home.
Yeah.
And he almost had it. And I was like, Jamie, just shut up so you can go upstairs. And he kept talking. I'm like, bro. You almost got it, Jamie.
Yeah,
no.
So we see his reaction, then we see Mars's reaction. It's always Team Mars. So she comes out with the dress, a little different style with the Jordans, because Mars is obsessed with Michael Jordan. He prays to Michael Jordan at night.
So cute.
And he prays for Nola, which I love.
Right?
So we see.
He prays for Nola.
He prays for her. How beautiful
is
that?
Mars.
Come on, baby
everything.
Mars.
Mars is everything.
He's so great. He takes her to this reggae club, which I love again.
Yes.
Little West Indian feel. Hey. And he's having a good time. She's out with the dress. And there's a guy who's being a dick.
Of course.
Which was so uncalled for. You know, Mars stepped on your sneakers by accident, but bro, we're in a club. It's okay. Mm-hmm. He tries to holler at Nola and he gets aggressive. Her PTSD kind of slips in and she kind of, she shoves him. They come outside and Mars, it's not that he was judging her, but he also made the mistake and said, well, you know, that dress.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That dress. And to Nola, it's like, whoa. What do you mean this dress?
Yeah,
How do you guys feel about Mars's reaction?
I mean, I just think it's not just men who think that way.
No.
I think women think that way. Like, sometimes
I
catch
so
my mom saying certain things, and I'm like, Mom, you can't talk like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just because someone dresses a certain way doesn't mean that, like, it's like, even if you're naked walking down the street, like, if someone,
doesn't right to touch me.
Right. If someone does something, that's on them, that's not on you. But, like, and, like, even, like, rape culture, I don't even think, I don't even think that it's about, you know, how someone is dressed. I think it's just a matter of, like, it's like a power dynamic, like conquering someone who's weaker than you.
And I thought this episode was really dope because of right now what's going on with the rape culture and so many people on social media saying things like, if you weren't dressed that way.
Right, if you didn't wear that.
Bro, it has nothing to do with how you dress. And I love that that was pointed out because you're right. Men and women can be judgy sometimes with what a woman may have on because a lot of the comments are coming from women on social media towards other women.
Yeah.
And that's actually surprising me. I'm like,
really?
Yeah.
Like, sometimes I catch myself doing it to myself even, and
it's
I hate
so
that.
Ingrained.
Sometimes I'm like, I mean, I remember one time I was so upset because someone came on to me and it was a professional setting, and I mm-hmm. told him, this is super inappropriate, and I was mm-hmm. really, really upset by it. And I remember, like, I kept thinking, I remember, like, after he did that, like, I put on my jacket, even though I wasn't even wearing anything revealing. Yeah. But I kept thinking, oh, my God, am I wearing something too revealing? Are my shoulders
showing? That sucks that we have to think about something.
Like, why do I have to think about that? I didn't do anything wrong. Just because I'm being friendly, I'm not, like, flirting and being friendly are two mm-hmm. different things. And I just, it just sucks when it's so ingrained in our culture that you have to unlearn the things that you've been taught your whole life.
Yeah. Definitely. I think, like, society definitely teaches you that. And I think in the perfect world, Mars would have been like, oh, yeah, you know, you look so good, baby. Yes. And he was just a hater or whatever. But realistically, that's probably what he would say. Yeah. Something like, well, you know, in that dress, I mean. Mm-hmm. So,
but
I like
but that. I love how, like,
Mars
he cuts
so
him some flat.
I know.
Like, for whatever reason.
He's so fly. He's
like, get out of anything. Because he genuinely doesn't realize that what he's doing is wrong. But he wants so much to make her happy. And I think she sees that. So, with her, like, she just, like, he can, like, get out of any situation.
He can, because even when he did what he did, it was because it's Mars. He's young. He's
learning. Yeah, he doesn't know better.
His intentions are good.
It's good. Mm-hmm. So I think that's why she was like, okay.
Yeah. She's like, I'll let it go.
And then we get to, you know, we get to Grant's reaction, which was a little different, but she comes over with the dress. He's a photographer. He's an amazing photographer. And he starts taking photos of her. And she starts to feel a little uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. That's the part I didn't get.
Yeah.
I really was like, girl, what? Why are you tripping?
It was
like,
a little,
I don't understand.
How did that show? Because it was a little weird. Because I'm like, you're having a good time.
Yeah, and it's like you and your boo.
Getting sexy. And he was sexualizing the thing. But as we know, her and Grant have a lot of sex.
Yeah.
So I think in his mind, he was like, yes, get sexy for me. Yeah.
Yeah, like a foreplay thing,
it
maybe.
Was kind of foreplay. And I think he was being turned on. And I also think it goes back to her attack.
Yeah.
You know?
I think, yeah, I kept thinking that. I was like, because after she was so upset, I'm like, wait, why is he,
like, what happened?
Because
I'm like, you can take pictures of me all day.
What did you do wrong? But I think what it was is like, it was like the final straw.
Yes.
Like she kept feeling this way. Like he was the third person, by the way. Like in that little black dress scenario. So she's just like, I hate this black dress. Yeah. Like what's happening?
It's an effect.
I'm not an object.
It's funny because one of my guy friends was like, I don't get why women act the way they do when we approach them. And I'm like, bro, do you know how many men have approached one woman in a day? So when it gets to number 25, her reaction may not be what you might want it to be. So I think you're right. When it came to him, he's the third person. Mm-hmm. And I think she was like, bro, I'm just over this. So Nola says, I'm not going to let some fuck boy fuck up my flow. Favorite quote. So we see
Love
Nola,
that.
She does this radical cleanse. She says no weed, no social media, no alcohol, and no men. Yeah. No penis will come between us.
Yes.
So she cleanses, and then we meet Opal.
Yeah.
Real quick,
girl crush.
Before we get into Opal, I just want to say another thing Spike Lee did amazingly was have a woman of color sexually harassed more than once. Like, because I think, especially right now with everything that's going on, it's mainly white women that are in the spotlight.
Yeah,
and,
that's true.
And statistically, women of color have a much higher rate of sexual violence. And so to see it in so many different scenarios, from the club to just a nice dinner to, you know, whatever, to see that whole, like, rape culture topic be brought up, I just was like, kudos to you.
Thank you, Spike. Spike is getting, you know, because, you know, Spike dealt with a lot of flack back in the day when he filmed his movies and the rumors of not paying. And I think that Spike Lee is a legend. Mm. And I think now he's learning, like, yo, let me bring these women writers in. Let me sit down with women and write about women issues. It's not like a bunch of men sat down and wrote this. It's women and men who can have that conversation. Like, actually, this is what we go through.
Mm-hmm.
You guys can't write about what we go through. Same thing with people of color. Like, if you have a show, but it's on all white cats, it's like, how do you... You don't know my experience.
Yeah.
So I think that's really dope. Spike is super cool. But she goes on her radical cleanse and we meet Opal.
Baddie.
I was girl crushing hard.
She's everything.
Man.
She has her own business. She has a fabulous apartment. She's a cute little daughter. Like, she's
living
on
life.
Living
she
life.
Has a nursery of fucking plants.
Yeah.
Just a beautiful woman. And, you know, we learned that her and Nola dated and Nola friend zoned her like she probably does everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
She kind of threw her away. So Opal now said, going into this, I don't want to get my feelings hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So we see they're kicking it and they're having amazing sex.
Mm-hmm.
And Nola did something that shocked me. She went to her therapist and was gushing.
Right? Yeah. Like, awesome is everything.
Yeah.
I'm so
She's
infatuated.
Planning weddings.
Yeah. Planning the wedding. And I think she missed it in therapy session. Like, she sees a lot of the women she wants to be. And I think that's why she's so, a part of the reason why she's so attracted to Opal. It's like, she admires her so much, and she's like, that's the woman I want to be in a few years. And I think that really makes the attraction grow.
Opal's beautiful. I'm like, hi, I don't like women, but now I like
she's
Opal.
She's gorgeous.
And I just like the way she talks and her tone, and she's soft, and you know, and even during
she's
the episode,
she's so grounded. I think that's what it is. I think that in a way, Nola is just attracted to stability so much, but she has more fun with like
a Mars.
But she craves stability because she's an artist and she doesn't have that. So she, like, anytime she sees someone that has their shit together, she's like, I want that. I'm attracted to this. Let me pursue this.
Well, I think also Opal, in a way, is also kind of an artist, like, with her plants and whatnot. And to see Opal have so much, like, sense of self and, like, to have her child and, like, to be doing her and not really need to look, like, outward.
Right.
For any type of, like, reassurance, I think that is really what attracts Noel to her. It's just that, like, that really could be me. But
she's flat. Even her damn daughter was just on point. I was like, you're adorable.
I know. Did you see those, like, French braids? Like, they just look
so cute.
They look
great.
They're just so cute.
I just love that mother-daughter relationship. And she's like, are you mommy's new girlfriend? Because mommy only lets people sleep over if she's serious.
Yeah, I'm like,
Skylar, you're like 10, and I love it. I love that relationship. So we see that. But I think this episode for me was a learning for Nola, because Nola's learning herself. Mm-hmm. She says she's a pansexual, polyamorous, sex positive. She's an artist. She, you know, she lives in a brownstone in New York, which is very expensive.
Amazing brownstone.
I mean, come on. I'm so, like, rent is backed
still
up.
Still gets a good deal, though.
Still gets a good deal.
Yeah, I'm like, girl, without that deal, I don't know how you're going to be in that apartment.
Nola sees a therapist. She has five hustles. So I think this is the episode where she learns herself. Nola, one of her hustles, she picks up a teaching gig where she's teaching kids. And these are kids who come from traumatic homes, and they come from bad backgrounds. Mm-hmm. But she's teaching them about art. And we meet Miss Moss, which I had to write her name down because... Her name
is...
Oh,
the way she's Rockaletta Moss.
Rockaletta Moss. I love.
And at first, I wasn't feeling Rockaletta Moss, but when Rockaletta Moss sat Nola down and schooled her, because I felt like this episode, she got schooled even when she ran into Greer, when she was out with Opal. Opal had to school her. You know, Rockaletta Moss had to let her know. Her mother, because she loses her keys, she locks herself out. And I feel like this is the episode she's trying to cleanse, but she's a hot mess.
Yeah.
How do you guys feel about Nola being a hot mess?
I mean, I feel like it's a good reflection of, like, kind of the confusion she's going through. Kind of like you said, where she wants this validation, but she also wants her independence. Mm-hmm. And kind of having that spill out into all aspects of her life. And, like, now she's locked out. And she's dealing with drama at work with Rockaletta Moss. And, you know.
Rockaletta Moss.
Which I did love her, but I also felt like the third person thing was a little distracting from her message.
I'm happy that she finally asked her at the end. She's like, do you just keep... Rockaletta Moss is, like, doing the most. We only have a few minutes left, so we're gonna, unfortunately, we did make it to four, but we're gonna try to speed through four and get to five, because I want to make sure we cover, because it was just so much.
In
five episodes, it's such a dope show. But in this episode, Nola learns about herself, and, you know, her mom, even her landlord downstairs, and Opal tells her, stop making promises that you know you can't keep. Gotta get it together, girl. Don't say you're gonna do something when you know damn well you're not
and
gonna be able to do it.
That's not the first time she's been told that, too. Like, it's a motif throughout, like, the five episodes. Right. Her landlord says the same thing. Don't promise me something you can't keep. And
can't
she's constantly told, like... just don't say it. Like, be accountable for your actions. So,
Bless her heart.
I kind of didn't see that coming, though. Maybe like, that? I didn't see Opal kind of telling her, hey, like, this is done. Because I didn't feel like she did anything to merit it. I think this was kind of like a preventative measure on Opal's part.
From being hurt.
Because she saw, like, a negative behavior repeat itself with her not showing up. And she's like, I can't invest in someone that has the potential to hurt not just me, but my daughter as well. Mm-hmm.
I think it goes back to that secure sense of self that Opal has. That, like, I don't need you to be a part of me.
Right.
Like, I wanted you to, but if you're going to be, you know, screwing around, then I'm good.
It is crazy. So, Nola's cleanse is now over. I think that lasted, what, 2 days? Now she's back onto men again, because after Opal had shut her down, and I think she wasn't really expecting that. So she's back to the men, and Jamie pops up, and Jamie gives her some of the best. I want to say the acting was so amazing. I felt her passion. The best oral sex, I'll say that, where she's crying. But she calls him Mars.
I know. I was like, ooh, was savage. Like, savage.
And I said to myself, savage. It's going to get to the point where she's going to, because she was already doing that when she was talking, the cinematic things she talked to Greer, she tried to do with Jamie. Like, they just didn't get it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, she's going to call one of them. Has that ever happened to you guys quickly? To anybody? Have you ever called someone's name by accident?
No. I don't recall.
I plead the fifth.
Right. Never in a bedroom setting. Okay. That would just be bold. But I have mixed up a name, like, once.
Yeah. I've done it before. I've done it before in a text message, and the person was like, excuse me. I'm like, oh, my friend was using my phone.
Yeah, you can play it off.
Try to cover
it. But I feel like in the bedroom, I don't know how you can play that off. But, like, in other settings, you can kind of work your way out of it.
It is crazy. So in five, the last episode for us, because we're going to do part two in a few days, but in five, we meet Jamie's son. We learned that because I thought Cheryl was white, but she's actually a light-skinned black woman.
Yeah.
And we get to know Jamie a little bit. We know that he's from, according to him, East New York. He's from the hood. But he sees that his wife, I can see why their communication mm-hmm. wasn't so great. Mm-hmm. We meet their son, and this is something that's happening today, where their light-skinned son goes to all part white school, but him and his friends make a rap video with blackface with the N-word on it. So this was also a lesson that, you know.
And he had white face.
He had a white face, and his friends had the black face. So, and I love how the teacher says to them, my dad marched with Dr. King and Black Lives Matter.
Thank you, Spike, again.
So I feel like in this episode, we got to learn a little bit more about Jamie and his wife. You get to see them talk a little bit. You get to see his son and his family relationship. So I thought that was pretty cool. Before we go, I'm so sorry to everyone who's listening. We had to speak through because we had to do five episodes, and AfterBuzz only gives us an hour, so we're about to wrap. But before we go, would you guys like to do quick predictions?
Mm.
Or would you guys like to say
AfterBuzz?
All right,
thank you, AfterBuzz.
Instead of predictions, you can say what you look forward to or what your favorite moment was. We can do that.
Okay.
Okay. You guys go first. I'm processing it.
I don't know if this is a prediction or not because, you know, we've seen the movie and I don't know how much
it's
going to
go.
But I just really want more Mars. I want Mars to have a happy ending in all of this. Just Mars all day.
Yes.
Yes. In a dream world, I would love for Mars to, like, Mars and Nola to be together. But, like I said, we've seen the movie, so we kind of know how that works out. But, yeah, I want to see more Mars. I want to see Nola kind of grow a little bit. More Opal because she's fabulous. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm hoping that they get a season two and a season three and they surprise us.
Yeah.
Where it's not like the movie. And I'm hoping for more Mars because he's adorable. And I hope we delve more into Shemeca because we learned that she gets the big booty.
Oh, yeah.
So mm-hmm. I would love to see more of that. And I'm super excited.
I hope we see more of Nola's role with the kid.
Oh, yeah.
Reggie.
Yeah.
Right.
Reggie.
Like, the whole Lil' Kim painting like, that she did. I think like seeing that dynamic play out more is going to show her growth at like into adulthood
That would be awesome. Well, ladies, it's time to go. This has been an amazing after show. I think I said my prediction. That was it. But anywho, you guys can find me on all social media at Kiki Boom Boom. I'm Nakia Monet. Ladies, want to tell everybody where they can follow you at?
You guys can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Mina Makes Magic.
Hey guys, this is Marielle, and you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Marielle_Turner.
Hey guys, you guys can follow me on Twitter, Insta, Tumblr, LinkedIn, I don't know, at OKDrewJ.
And you guys can follow AfterBuzz TV on Twitter, all social media, Instagram, SoundCloud, iTunes. We're now on YouTube. We have a whole new thing going on, so make sure you guys tune in. And we will be back next Thursday with the second part of She's Gotta Have It. Leave comments, let us know how you feel, and we'll see you guys next week. Well, in a few days. Peace.
Yeah.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.